We're talking about predatory lending and farm debt here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The economic trend lines show a long-term decline in farm income that has forced some farmers to default on their loans. And at the same time, banks that specialize in ag credit have tightened their lending standards as the economic situation becomes more grim. Farmers are estimated to hold nearly $427 billion in debt this year. That's the most since the 80s farm crisis. Farmers, what is the hardest part about managing your debt? Are you worried you may sell off your cattle or have to sell the family farm? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Frank Fryer is an economic specialist with Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. He works in financial consulting and farm succession planning. Frank, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Can you explain what are these unregulated predatory lenders? What do they look like?
Well, they look like the old statement, if it appears too good to be true, it probably is. So you're reading a farm magazine or a newspaper and you see an ad that says, fill out this ad, a one page, email it, send it in, call it in, and tomorrow morning you're eligible for $200,000 of debt. So if it isn't regular, we look at the lenders that farmers or anybody borrowing money should look at are regulated. Banks are regulated by the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Some banks are federal, they're chartered, they're rated by FDIC. Farm credit is regulated by FCA, and Farm Service Agency, FSA, is a part of the federal government, so they are heavily regulated. There are some supply companies that offer lenders that you know the local people, and you're filling out regular applications. But just filling out a simple application, making a phone call, and either getting a credit card or getting a line of credit is risky because those lenders may not have any regulatory rules to follow.
Frank, how much of a problem is this? How often do you get calls from farmers who have taken out these loans from unregulated lenders?
Well, the unfortunate part is we usually get the call after the loan is taken out and then it's time to pay back, and the farmer can't pay back or they can't pay back on the terms of the loan. And they call and say, we got a problem. And some of these lenders operate out of state. They're hard to get a hold of. They make sure they're hard to get a hold of. The best time if you see that kind of an ad is, again, go back to the old adage, if it appears too good to be true, it probably is. And then maybe go to your local lender and ask them, are you aware of this lender? They can call the Wisconsin Department of Ag, our farm center, at our 800 number, and we will do some research to see if it's a legitimate lender. We will actually call the lender and ask some questions, but many times they're hard to get a hold of. Everything flows out, and it's hard to get anything to flow in.
We're talking with Frank Fryer. He is an economic specialist with Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, where he's focused on financial consulting and farm succession planning. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. As we look at this farm debt and lending, have you taken out a loan from an organization separate from your bank? What kind of interest rates are you seeing? How are you dealing with it? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Frank, may I ask, how did we get here? What is the situation like for farmers right now? What is causing, driving them to these types of lenders?
Well, I think the big factor is a word that I think has become important in our vocabulary, and that's uncertainty. Right now, if we look at the farm situation, prices are uncertain. Input costs are uncertain. We have trade wars going on. They're uncertain. Agriculture has always had some volatility. And then you add the weather. This spring has got to be one of the worst springs that we've had as far as planting, as far as trying to do any, make first crop hay. So all that uncertainty, people panic, they may not have a loan approved. They may not even have applied for a loan. And so then they see this as a grasp of saying, aha, I can get this loan, I can get the money, I can plant a crop, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Because you need the money in order to plant the crop. You need that capital on the front end so that you're able to get that crop in the ground and then get the dividends when it's harvested.
And I think part of it is people panic. If you drive by a farm and there's nothing planted, you have a couple of thoughts. One, maybe they couldn't get credit. Maybe they've rented it out and their neighbor hasn't planted it. Maybe it's the weather. But we're all proud people. None of us want to say that we have failed or we can't get a loan or we're going to have to exit farming. So if you can put that off even until the fall, then you worry about paying it back. That's why some of this is happening.
So how does all of this uncertainty affect how banks feel about lending right now? The banks who offer ag credit, how are they feeling in terms of securing loans for farmers?
I think all lenders have tightened their credit a little. And sometimes when people ask me that, I say, no, I don't think the credit standards have changed any. They're just using the standards they have within the bank. When things were good, the prices were good, the weather was good, it was easy to lend money and say, well, maybe they ought to have this certain percent equity or this kind of working capital, but things are going well, we can take that risk. Right now, we've had nonprofit in agriculture since 2014. You go 5 years, there's money to be paid back. Some people have not been able to pay back in any 1 year. All of the money they've borrowed, they put more of that debt over on the long term. And so there's not the options to take care of this debt that we used to have.
Well, besides the crops, how are farmers keeping their equipment going, their combines, their tractors, and all of the technology that's on farms these days?
Well, I talked to a farmer last night that said, and I would say he's a very good farmer, good manager. He's a dairy operation and also has some crops. He said, we used to trade certain machinery every 3 years, hay binds, big package balers, TMRs, manure spreaders. And now he said, I'm out to 6-7 years. They're starting to cost me money in repair bills, but I simply cannot afford to go in and buy a new piece of machinery.
So that farmer is going on 6 to 7 years on particular equipment to run the farm versus in the past 3 years might have been the cycle.
So then you have breakdowns that you didn't plan on. Repairs are costly. Parts are costly. Plus, that just stretches out your workload. So now you've got more work. You're trying to fix a piece of machinery. You're trying to locate the parts. You're trying to figure out how to fix it. In the meantime, if you've got money borrowed, interest is piling up. Malprices has increased in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months. But if you're getting $18 a hundredweight or you're getting 20 with premium and it's costing you 25 to produce it, it's still not enough.
Frank Fryer is an economic specialist with Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency. Did you end up turning to a predatory lender but only realized it after the fact? What happened? Where do you stand with your farm debt now? And how are you staying afloat? Are you burning through equity? Is that affecting your health? Join in this discussion. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Back in just a moment with more conversation right here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at predatory lending on the farm. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. During the first quarter of this year, the default rate for farm loans held by banks hit its highest level in 7 years. And as commodity prices fall and farming becomes less profitable, producers are depending on non-farm income to stay afloat and service their debt. Or they may try to turn to new loans from companies that are not regulated by state or federal financial agencies. So how is your farm's balance sheet right now? Are you putting off equipment purchases like a combine, like a baler? Are you struggling to purchase feed for cattle, or are you relying on equity? Have you left farming altogether? Join in with your story, your questions about unregulated lenders at 800-642-1234. Frank Fryer stays with us. He's an economic specialist with Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency. Frank, many farmers across the state didn't get their fields to plant their crops due to the wet weather we've been seeing, the cooler temperatures we saw this spring. How does this factor in when you look at the financial situation, what the weather impact is, what a hailstorm means to a farmer?
Well, the weather impact is another one of those uncertainties. It has a major impact. Take, for example, first crop hay. We're a dairy state. First crop hay is a very important part of our ration for dairy cattle. And we have people who have tried cutting hay. Maybe they hit a window and they got two good days of hay and good quality hay. The next 3-4 weeks, every time they mowed hay, it's rained. So now they've got hay that's been rained on 2 or 3 times. They call that heifer hay, and it doesn't fit the quality they need for their dairy cows. Some people are simply waiting, and the hay is way past maturity. Usually in a good year, they'd be cutting their second crop of hay right now, and some people are still on their first crop. People are desperate for feed, and they ended up the winter short of feed. Feed became high priced. Now we're heading into the summer, so feed quality, lack of enough feed, how will they get through the next winter? They don't have the money to go out and buy feed. They've already invested money in fertilizer. They've invested money in the harvesting cost. It's a major impact, and we receive calls, maybe not every day, but surely we receive calls every week from people saying, what do we do? We're out of feed. The feed quality of what we just made is terrible. We're thinking about selling our dairy cows.
And Frank, what do you tell them when they say, I'm at that point, I think I'm going to sell my cattle?
Well, the first thing we tell them is, let's pause for a minute. Let's step back and look at the whole picture. We're here to help you. That's the purpose of the Farm Center. Let us look at your financials. Let us evaluate them and give you a third-party, neutral, objective of analysis, and let's talk about this, because selling your cattle and saying, well, I'm just going to go ahead and sell them, well, then you got income tax problems. You may sell your cattle. Your lender may say they want all the money. Now it comes time to file your tax return, and you can't pay the taxes. So we tell people, pause, let us help you. Work with your local lender. They're on your side also. They may have told you no, they can't lend you more money, but they want to see you, if you're going to exit farming, to do it in the most profitable manner. So it's set back, don't panic, and let's see how we can work through this.
Are you talking with farmers who are also trying to hold down jobs off the farm to increase their income, part-time jobs, perhaps even full-time jobs off the farm to keep the farm afloat?
And we do have people that are doing that. I don't know how they're able to keep up very long. They're burning both ends of the candle. They're milking cows. Maybe they've cut back their herd a little bit. Maybe they have family help, part-time family help, or they have kids that can do it in morning or nights right now, being out of school. So there's people doing everything they can to try to generate more income. Maybe one of the spouses says, okay, I need to take a job off the farm. We need that job for our health insurance. If we can get that benefit, we need that job to infuse some more capital or more funds into our financial situation. So, yes, we have all of those going on.
Talking with Frank Fryer, he is an economic specialist with Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, where he's focused on financial consulting, farm succession planning, and helping family farms stay afloat in difficult economic times. You can join in with your situation, your farming situation, 800-642-1234. How are you looking at your balance sheets right now? Have you thought about selling cattle? Did you go through this process already? And what is that financial situation doing to your health? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Frank, what about filing for bankruptcy? Is that ever an option, a good option for farmers?
Well, we just got done talking about the scenario of the farmer that says, I'm going to sell my cows, and we say, let's pause and let's look at the whole big picture. One of the options that comes up in that whole big picture is bankruptcy, and there is a chapter of the bankruptcy law called Chapter 12 that was written in the 1980s when we had farm financial crisis, and that's an option they have. What does the Chapter 12 bankruptcy do? Talking to one of the leading bankruptcy attorneys in the state, he said, well, he looks at the big picture of bankruptcy and says it's a way of restructuring your debt. It's a way of reducing, maybe in some cases, reducing the debt, restructuring the debt, setting some terms. Maybe it's lowering your interest rate. And so Chapter 12 bankruptcy is an option. And I tell people it's not a fun option. Occasionally we get a call, somebody will say, oh, I'll just file Chapter 12 and take care of all my problems. I compare a Chapter 12 bankruptcy to your doctor telling you you have cancer. You don't treat it till you have it, so you don't file bankruptcy till you can't find any other option, and you don't treat cancer until you know that you have it. They're both painful, and Chapter 12 bankruptcy is definitely an option, but it should not be taken lightly.
As part of your work, you also get calls from farmers who are depressed and who say that they have suicidal thoughts. How often are you getting those kinds of calls, and what do you say?
Well, we're definitely getting more of those kind of calls than we have for quite a while. And sometimes what do we say? Sometimes we say, we listen. They tell us maybe after an hour, by the fact you listened, that's helped us a lot. That's helped let us move forward. If we need more than active listening, if we need to be asking questions, we try to find out what's going on. How do they want to commit suicide? That gives us some idea how serious they are. And we try to then find out, are there family members that we can talk to and involve in helping? Are there neighbors? Who can we help them turn to? And they can call us. We'll do the best job of listening that we can, but we also need to have somebody at a local level who is also on their side. And so we do everything we can to help people work through that, to see that there are options, that it's not as bad as it looks, even if it does look bleak. Let's work through this. What's the impact of bankruptcy on your family? So we do our best job of trying to help these people. We've been lucky so far.
You also work in farm succession planning. How is the current state of transferring the family farm to the next generation?
Well, I think it's slowed down a little because people are having a lot of financial issues, but we still have calls. We have people, obviously, that don't have debt. We have people that don't have very much debt. We have farmers getting older every day. So we have lots of calls saying, can you help us set up a transition plan? And what we can do is educate them on the plan, all the options that are available, so they can then take that to an attorney and draft up the kind of plan that they're looking for.
As we look at farming, lots of challenges. Are there things that you're hopeful about, things that make you hopeful for the future of the family farm?
Yes, definitely. I think we have the best educated, the best knowledge. We have the best farm managers producing the highest quality feed and fiber that we've ever had in this country. That's a positive. We see young people going into farming. And yes, it's tight right now and a struggle, but there's lots of optimism out there, too. The weather, people have fought weather for years. The weather will turn around. Milk prices going up. It needs to go up more. Grain prices have gone up, so there's a lot of positive out there within the negative. It's easy to always say, well, this is wrong and that is wrong, but there's farmers out there who are still turning a profit. I don't say that to insult the people who are struggling, because everybody had a different place they started in. Some people inherited farms. Some people were able to buy farms at a good price. Other people have had to pay the full market value. If they did that in 2015 and we've had 5 years of losses, that's pretty hard to get going.
Frank, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And again,
Frank Fryer is an economic specialist with Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency. Coming up, it's news here on the Ideas Network.